What really gets my dick hard is...
So fucking what?
Welcome to Metal Up Your Podcast, episode 13. I'm Ethan Luck.
And I'm Clint Wells.
And we're into the teens. We're teenagers now.
I'm growing hair in unfamiliar places.
I have so many questions.
I'm scared. I'm alone.
but I feel good. But I feel good.
But I feel good at night when no one's around.
Oh, man. Here we go. This is another classic episode of us...
Classic.
Don't even do it. We're not getting the church giggles again. This is another episode where
this is classic Metal Up Your Podcast. This is fucking classic.
Glenn, we can't do this again.
Dude, you started it, dude. You
Damn
started it.
It,
bro.
I was gonna say that this was another.
It's another what? It's another episode?
I'm cool. I can hold it together. I was going to say it's another one of those nights where we record two episodes in one night. And we have a little bit of vodka.
Like, how can we tell that the Metal Up Your Podcast dudes did two episodes in one night? Is the second episode of the month one where they're uncontrollably laughing? That might be the one.
What did you just say?
I don't know.
No, that's true.
It was such a high register. No, Dude, if we can really pull it together, we can keep this as the intro.
I know. We should. Okay. Hello.
Hello. I like that was your reboot. Hello. Oh my god, what if this is the first episode anyone listens to?
Yes, some guy on the Metallica forum's like, oh, check this out. And it's just us, like,
this is
laughing uncontrollably.
Two stone dudes. Oh man.
That's true, we do sound like two, like, Spicolis just cracking up. But, no, this has happened before. On our Jason Newsted episode, where that was the second episode of the night we recorded over the course of about 4 hours.
Yeah, I'm sensing a pattern here.
There might be a little bit of a pattern, but let's at least tell the listeners like what we're here for. We have a podcast about Metallica.
My name's Clint. This is Ethan.
Dude, I was trying to keep it together. Jeez. Okay, my name's Ethan. That's Clint. But yeah, anyways, tonight we are we're in our second episode of the night that we recorded. You'll hear it a week apart. But tonight our episode is about Flemming Rasmussen, who is, as most of you should know, you better know, he is the producer of what most consider like the three most classic Metallica records: Ride the Lightning, Master right. Puppets, and Injustice. So we're going to talk about him, but before that, we're going to get into some fan stuff. We have fan mail, because we're big celebrities now, of course. Come on, dude. Hold it together. I was serious.
No, we're super fans. We're super fans.
We're so famous.
We're so famous, dude. Yeah.
I mean...
it's been really hard adjusting to my new lifestyle as a famous person. It's been really challenging, but I've found a way to do it. I've summoned my inner strength.
I should just hit stop and we should pick this up tomorrow.
Oh no, dude.
Okay, we're in for the long haul.
So we get feedback every week. Even when we don't double down on episodes, we try to really call all of these responses. Dude,
I'm trying so hard. I can't even look at you.
Don't.
Yeah, this will help.
We should just never look at each other again. But we.
That sounds sad.
I felt sad as I said it.
How many, I can't even talk. How many subscribers are we losing now? Jeez, sorry guys.
I don't know.
Okay.
We're getting a lot of feedback though, and it's enough that we really can't cover it all each week. So we're going to try, if we read your thing and abbreviate it, or if we miss it this week, just forgive us. We're really trying to get to it all. We really appreciate all the feedback. It's been a really fun.
I'm not even looking at you. Come on.
All right. Who's going first?
Unfortunately, me.
Is it you?
Yeah. Okay. This is from Cost and IZ8.
Yeah.
Costant.
Hard to say. Here's the deal, guys.
Costant is? Yeah, what's with the screen names that are hard to...
You know what my screen name is on the forum? Clint Wells.
Mine's Ethan Luck.
Just fucking...
Pretty easy.
Make it easy to say.
And
all
this,
right.
This isn't a personal attack on you. This is just... Like, a lot of screen names we see that have a lot of numbers or just confusing things, it seems very... At least for me, it's very, like, early cumbersome. Days of the, like, Yahoo chat rooms where it's like... Hey, this is Ethan 8560738.
I know.
Like, it's a little confusing. It's not a personal attack, like I said, but just think about it. Reconsider it.
So, Costandiz8.
Costandiz8. Love your podcast. It's like sitting in with a bunch of my buddies talking about Metallica. A bunch of your buddies that laugh too much.
Yeah.
Every now and then, I catch myself wanting to join the conversation. Dude, that's awesome. Thank you very much. We've heard that quite a bit. And I feel the same way listening to other podcasts.
Yeah, if the general sentiment is that our podcast is conversational, then we win.
I think so. I mean, that's to me what makes a good podcast. If it's not like an actual, I can't look at you. If it's not an actual interview, it's nice to listen to a podcast and feel like you're part of the conversation. You're a fly on the wall kind of thing. So, all right. Next one from the forum. This is the Metallica forum. Swerk H, I guess. Again, okay. Just let's
Swerk.
Let's
let's do some swerk here.
Jeez, Clint. Okay, I'm just saying Swerk would have been nice if that was taken. Maybe just Swerks.
I don't think Swerk was taken, dude.
But Swerk H, I don't know.
Okay,
whatever. I'm not trying to dog.
What did Swerk
people.
H
oh,
say?
My gosh, great episode as always.
Oh,
that's it. Thank you, cool. Swerk H.
Thanks.
And then next we have Minty Kane. Okay, that's cool. Minty Kane. Christmassy. Nice job, guys. Thanks for giving us. Thanks for giving me a reason to look forward to Mondays. You are welcome. We didn't really have an intention of starting these on Mondays, but that's just how it came to be. And we're glad we could make your work week a little better.
I'm glad that although you had nothing else to look forward to, that we could.
Yeah.
Thanks
hope,
for giving me a
I
reason
hope
to
there's
live
something
on Mondays.
You have to look forward to, but if maybe your job sucks and this is what gets you through the day, that's
no,
awesome.
No, we appreciate it, man.
Yeah,
thanks for
course,
tuning
yeah.
in. We're going to be here for you every Monday indefinitely.
Indefinitely, yes.
All right.
All right, next we got B Metal 112476. No mm-hmm. comment. Great podcast as usual, and I am totally with you guys. I would love to see Jason back in Metallica. He fits the band more than Rob. Not trying to knock Trujillo, but it's true.
It's Sabbath true.
There you go. It is Sabbath true, but of course we love Trujillo. Rob is he's a fantastic
great.
Bass
he's
player,
great.
Incredible musician. We could do without the crab walk from time to time. However, yeah, of course, Jason back in Metallica would be incredible. I don't think he'll ever come back in like Trujillo's To the Curb, but there's been some rumors, and hopefully he comes back to participate in something.
I'm currently writing a letter to my congressman and trying to get a rally happening at the White House for Trump to reinstate Jason Newsted in Metallica.
That would be an executive order I can get behind. I mean, call me crazy, but I think that America would...
An executive order you can
I
get
mean,
behind.
If you want to make America great again, that's step one, get Jason back in Metallica.
So, also from the forum, we have UJJWalika182, the two J's.
I don't want this to be an episode about us knocking people's screen names, but listen, as podcast hosts, it's a lot easier for us to read screen names when there's not two J's. Like there's one coming up, Phantom Lord 3.
Easy.
Got it. No problem.
In fact, don't even need the 3.
Ibanez 400. I don't play Ibanez's, right. but... Ibanez 400. Great.
So UJJ Wallica 182 says, can we also have an episode on top 10 milestone achievements by Metallica? Yeah, we've talked about doing an episode of sort of top 10 most, not necessarily achievements, but the milestones for sure. Like Cliff's death would of course, be yeah. a top 10, the Napster fiasco.
Yep. I would say even the Black Album would be a milestone.
Black Album for yeah. sure. Them working with Bob Rock.
Yep.
Them making the one video. Yeah, we're going to do an episode of that.
For sure.
Thank you for the suggestion. By the way, for any of you listening who have suggestions,
please
Ethan and
know.
I have, we've brainstormed around 70 maybe, but we want this podcast to last a long time. So if you have suggestions, we're open to them. We want to be hanging out with you guys, talking about Metallica for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Ibanez 400 says, which I wonder what kind of guitar that guy plays. Probably a Gretsch.
At least a Jackson.
Can you guys do a podcast on the rarities like the backstory of I Disappear, Ramones covers, and other stuff like that?
Yes.
A whole episode on rarities, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're going to do...
But is I Disappear
a
rarity? That was a single.
Yeah, it was a single. But as far as like rarities, Ramones covers, cover songs in general... You can bet we're going to do Garage Days. We're going to do Garage Inc. Like, we're going to cover all that stuff. You know, there was a Ramones cover compilation record that came out. I, off the top of my head, I would say at least 10 years ago.
What did they do on that?
Damn it. Don't quote me right now.
Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Hit Me Baby One More Time. Or I think they did Bye Bye Bye, maybe.
Okay.
I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think it's called... We're All a Family or something like that.
Okay.
I'll look it up later when we're done recording. Okay. But anyways, yes, we'll cover all that stuff.
Yeah, it's a good suggestion. I like I Disappear. I think it disappears cool.
I don't care for it.
Okay. That's fine. That's fair. Also, you're fired from the podcast.
I'm sorry. Get out of my house.
No, you're fired from the podcast, but I'm going to stay in your house. That's how it works.
Oh, okay.
Phantom Lord 3 says, all these episodes have been great. He's talking about the 30th anniversary episode. All these episodes have been great, but this is my favorite because it's been the most fun and I went through all sorts of emotions when I listened to it. Oh, sorry. Fuck. This is the Jason episode. Okay. He goes on to say, Jason was definitely the member the fans could relate to, and his energy stemmed from the fact that he once was a fan. Good point.
Very true, yeah.
He never forgot, you know, that he was a fan. And that's palpable shit. That stuff that stuck with me my whole life. He goes on to say, the one thing you guys missed out on was the hair, the helicopter. Probably the most rad headbanging ever, which is true.
Often, Jason also known as the windmill.
But Jason has permanent physical injury from his stint in Metallica. The headbanging was so...
It's called bangover. You've heard that, right?
No.
Really?
Never heard it.
Yeah, the day after, like, you're playing a metal band, the day after you headbanging, you have bangover.
But what's it called when you have it 14 years later?
That's called
spinal injury.
That's just called being an adult.
An awesome episode that had me missing Jason even more, and the ending was just hilarious when we had the giggles, which we kind of
had. Oh, you mean the way
had.
We started this one?
It is cool, though, that episode is making people sort of get excited again about Jason and miss Jason. I know that just even doing the episode with you and talking about Jason, it made me, I had a little, you know, a little Jason-sized hole in the old heart there.
A little warmth in your heart.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, we if any of you have listened to the interview with Jason with Eddie Trunk that came out, last fall or something, you know, he hints at doing something with Metallica that something's happening, and we hope that we can cover it. We hope we can talk about it. I would love to do that. I would love to be able to call Clint and be like, get your ass to my house. Let's record a podcast. Jason just did this with Metallica.
But what could it be? I mean, Robert's not leaving the band.
No, he's not leaving the band, but even if he showed up and played on stage, people would lose their shit.
But we've had that. I need something more.
We've had that twice.
I need something more from these people.
I don't know what to tell you, but... You know, you'd be stoked if all of a sudden tomorrow we wake, you know, or whatever the next show they're doing in Mexico, all of a sudden Jason's up there, you know, playing Sad But True.
But would that be the new exciting news? Is he's going to cameo at a show?
I mean, it wouldn't be anything like out of the ordinary. I don't know. I still think it'd be exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
But
anytime Jason's with Metallica, I'm stoked.
Of course, yeah. That's all I'm trying to say, and we'll cover it in like a revisited episode or something. But anyways, on to Twitter. Alan Collins, he said, this podcast needs more followers. Agreed. I listen to the records track by track as they go through them. They mean us.
Great.
That's awesome. We've heard that a few times, and that's cool. I guess we're kind of like, it's like a class. We're teachers, you know? They're following along.
It is a compliment. If our passion for these records is permeating your cans, as we call them, or wherever you're listening, to the point where you have to stop it to listen. You know, Paul told me, our friend Paul Mook, who we should have on this podcast,
one of the four
horsemen, that after every episode on a particular record, he goes and listens to the record because he gets so excited.
That's great.
That's great, man.
I mean, that's you know, we do the opposite. We immerse ourselves in the record we're talking about, in the person we're talking about, whatever, before, but...
And then we never listen to them again.
No, never. I haven't listened to Master of Puppets in like a month. back to Twitter. Okay, here's another name. Okay, at BTBAM rules 310.
Good grief.
Doesn't really roll off the tongue, man.
That's hard to say.
Just a little advice.
Hard to say.
Great episode as usual, but you guys didn't mention the only truly bad thing about the performance... The onstage dancers.
Oh, that's about the Grammys.
The Grammys, yeah, that, with our revisited episode.
Well, he's right. It's not good.
Yeah, we didn't mention that, which I thought about after we posted that episode.
You know why we didn't mention it?
Because I'd already forgot about it?
No, we didn't mention it because, he says the only truly bad thing. No, the two truly bad things were, number one, they didn't properly introduce Metallica.
And then, you know...
And then James's mic didn't work for the first two verses.
There's that thing. There's that whole thing.
But I do agree with him or her that the sort of like models dressed up as 90s like flannel
like moshers
kids kind of pretending.
And if you didn't notice, Lady Gaga was like mixed in with them and then they pushed her out.
Surprise.
Yeah.
Like she like popped out of she popped out of a cake or something. Yeah,
totally. it was corny.
I agree.
Yeah, it was very corny.
But it's not the not the only truly bad thing.
And if you haven't seen it, I do recommend. I had my theories of audio issues with that whole thing. Apparently, the actual webcast from the Grammys was fine, and that has recently surfaced online. And you can watch the Grammy performance with Hetfield's mic working, and it's so much better, and it's pretty damn awesome.
But can he hear himself? Because he looked rattled.
No, I don't think he can hear himself. If he could hear himself, he wouldn't have looked over and been like, what's
happening? So his in-ears are not working, and the live broadcast isn't working, but the web stream is working.
The web stream is working.
Wow, that's so weird how
it's
those
very weird.
Lines
There's a lot
across.
Of patching things below the stage and in monitor world that happen, but...
And in my life. Unrelated.
Okay. Let's get some emails, Clint.
Is this me? Okay. We've mentioned this before. We get lots of emails, and our emails tend to be a little more dense.
It's because we're famous.
And, man, they're so beautiful and special, and we take the time, and anyone who's emailed us knows we respond to all of them, but we probably can't read all of them on an episode, but we're going to try to read some of these. So this is from Nick Garcia. Nick writes, hey, guys, just got done listening to the latest episode and thought I'd throw some thoughts at you. Okay. I don't have any friends who are as into Metallica as I am, so you guys are my new Metallica buddies.
Oh,
very cool.
Good to be friends.
We are your new Metallica buddies. I will say I think you guys should definitely check out Jason's two Newstead albums. I like them a lot, have them both in rotation in my metal playlist. I left a review for you guys. Oh, and then he goes to talk about our iTunes. I left a review for you guys. Speaking of iTunes, is there any chance you guys could maybe get the podcast up on Google Play Music?
Sure. I can do that.
Okay.
There's like you have to submit it for an approval process.
Okay.
But I did that with my personal podcast, and I didn't really see many listens over there, but it couldn't hurt to have it elsewhere.
Well, we can at least get Nick Garcia on board.
Oh, Nick will put us number one over there on Google Play.
We're getting a lot of messages saying that people are responding to the podcast because they don't really feel like they have a lot of outlets to... talk about Metallica or to be kind of Metallica geeks.
Well, number one, get new friends. first and foremost.
I don't have many that I could do this with. I have you and I have Paul and Matthew.
I've got a couple. Mostly you, which is why we're here.
Exactly.
All right.
So he says we should listen to Newstead. I mean, we should check it out. I don't.
I listened to a couple tracks earlier today because I've.
What it's called, heavy metal music? Or
yeah, it's called heavy metal music. I've been a bit reluctant because, you know, his last thing was Echo Brain, and I'm not a fan personally. No judgment if you like it, but
I don't think many,
there's.
I don't think many people did like it.
Did Lars like it? You think?
I don't know.
But upon first listen, I mean, I didn't like go through track by track. I literally just skimmed a couple tracks before Clint came over to record this. And there's some really good riffs, and Jason has a cool voice. My first thought, and this is so premature to think, but I lyrically right away I was like, this is a little weird. But I'm gonna take a step back, and I will spend some time with it.
Yeah, I agree. I'm actually like mildly ashamed that I haven't checked it out.
Don't be ashamed. It's fine.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the permission.
Of course. My pleasure. Well, maybe we should listen to it together.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So our next email is from Neil Hansen. Hey, guys. Great show as usual. Okay. He's a frequent listener. I own both Echo Brain albums, speaking of Echo Brain, and have listened to them a lot over the years. You guys should give them more of a chance. They're really good. Don't know if you guys know this, but Kirk actually played guitar on one of the songs, Sucker Punch, on their first album.
Ooh.
Interesting. Did he use a wah?
Survey says yes.
Ding. Okay. Again, good to know. You know, like, what I've heard of Echo Brain, I've never really liked, but I'm happy to dive back into it.
Here's a question. Did James know that Kirk played on it? And if not, would that have been contention between James and Kirk?
Ooh, good question.
Did they have to keep that on the DL?
Okay, that's a good question.
Which because that sounds for down low. That's down low.
Yeah, on the low down.
Was it on the down low or the low down?
The low down, I think.
We don't know. No, actually, no one knows. That's unknowable.
No, that is a great question though, because that was a, you know, in the some kind of
that
monster
was a sore
documentary.
Issue.
That was a very sore issue. Like Hetfield was not about him doing a side project, even though like their management wanted to manage Jason.
Here's what I can't imagine Kirk doing is saying, you know what, I'm just going to go tell James that I'm playing on an Echo Brain.
I've had enough.
Kirk's like, you know what, best kept secret. This yeah. little less said about it, the better.
Totally. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm very intrigued to listen to Sucker Punch.
You know what we're gonna do? You know what we're gonna do? I've just decided it.
Okay.
We're gonna do an Echo Brain episode.
We are. Okay.
Oh, you know what we should just do? We should just do a post Metallica Newstead episode.
Okay.
So we'll do Echo Brain.
Just
we'll
Newstead
do
music.
Voivod.
Voivod.
Newstead.
Yes.
Newstead. What is it? Rockstar Super Shit Nova.
Rockstar Supernova. Yeah. It was like a thing. Yeah, we can go into it later.
All right, our last email we're going to read before we get into our A Flaming Rasmussen is from Anthony Cortez. He says, Clinton, Ethan.
That's us.
That's you and I. I just wanted to say I'm really enjoying what y'all are doing. I'm caught up on all episodes and looking forward to hearing more. I hope you're planning on doing an episode on S&M because for me, that's where it all started.
Wow.
Thanks again, guys, and keep it up. Best regards from a fellow Metallica diehard.
That's where it all started. A live record.
I mean,
that's pretty awesome.
Depending on your age,
of course,
you know,
sure, but like, that's but like, you know, most people start with the actual studio album.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
What a great if you're gonna start late, S&M. I mean, we've talked about that. That's one of Hetfield's peak vocal performances.
Oh, it is the peak. And I mean, as other than Minus Human and No Leaf Clover, well. Okay, I was about to say, other than those two songs, it's almost like a greatest hits live record, but
right.
It is heavy on Load and Reload. I mean, they do Devil's Dance, Fuel, Memory Remains, Outlaw Torn.
They don't do that.
But they do, it is kind of heavy on that kind of mid-90s shit, but they do Sabbath True, Enter Sandman, One.
Oh, it's great.
Master of Puppets.
They open with Call of Cthulhu.
Call of Cthulhu.
Yeah.
So I could see how someone might kind of,
yeah, it's a best of.
Like if someone said, oh, my first introduction to Metallica was Saint Anger, I'd be like, oh my god, you
poor thing.
But S&M, I'm like, okay, well, you've got some good info.
Well, you're also getting like great songs from their records.
Yeah,
it's just
totally.
A live version of it with
right.
an orchestra,
which I think, you know, you and I are S&M believers. Some
oh,
people
yeah.
think S&M sucks, but
why would you think that? Because it's an orchestra.
I was listening to Metallichat today, which if you guys don't know, there's another Metallica podcast called Metallichat, which is these two dudes, I think they're from like Indiana or something, and They're pretty funny. I like them, and
they get kind of nerdy too. They dive into some.
They talk about like Star Trek and Power Rangers and shit. They talk about some funny stuff. But the premise of their podcast is that one of the guys like doesn't know much about Metallica,
yeah.
and one guy's a big fan,
yeah,
which is a cool like foil. Like
it definitely is, yeah.
But then they don't have many episodes. I think they only have 10. They go through each record, and they at least the guy that's not a huge Metallica fan, they kind of slag S&M.
Really?
Yeah.
I've got beef with them now.
Yeah, they slag it. And it's a mystery to me. But you know what they do on their podcast, which is so... Like, I was listening to it today in my car and laughing so hard, is they do this segment, because they're like Star Trek nerds.
Okay.
Where they... And I mean nerd affectionately. Like, I'm a Randy Newman nerd.
We're Metallica nerds.
We're nerds.
Yeah.
But they do this thing where... he names like a phrase and he's like, is this a Star Trek episode or a Slayer song? And you would be so surprised.
That's a great segment.
Because it's like Seasons of the Abyss. Is that Star Trek or Slayer?
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's a really good segment.
Dude, it's funny. It makes me laugh.
Oh man, that's awesome. Good on you, Metallichat.
If you guys are just like diehards who can't get enough of all the shit like Ethan and I, then check out Metallichat. They're on the whatever the thing. However you found us, they're on that.
iTunes. Or whatever. I mean, that's where I saw them. Yeah, iTunes.
Okay, right on. Metallichat.
Just type in.
What's up, Metallichat dudes?
Keep it up.
All right. Are we ready to get into Fleming?
Yeah, Fleming Rasmussen.
How many of our listeners want to hear this episode?
I don't know, but how many of our listeners made Ride the Lightning our number one episode to date?
That's true. We should mention that.
Produced by... said guest.
Yeah.
Oh, he's here? Just kidding. He's not here.
Oh, Fleming?
Fleming? Hello?
Fleming actually lives with you now.
He does.
Well, they did sell Sweet Silent Studios.
I think I know him. He's also from Denmark.
So, Ride the Lightning has somehow, like, it's our forefront issue or episode. I keep calling our episodes issues like we're a fucking comic book. I don't even read comic books.
I've read a couple comic books. These are longer than it takes to read a comic book or like a normal issue. But yeah, somehow you guys out there have cast your vote and Ride the Lightning is our most popular
episode.
Yeah, it's our most listened to episode.
Which it's like Fleming's first, and you know, like it says a lot about Fleming, I think.
Yeah. So for those of you that are listening that don't know, which I'm surprised you don't, but if you don't, Fleming is the producer that he produced what... most consider the three great Metallica records, Ride the Lightning, Master of Puppets, Justice for All, like I said at the top of the episode, but Ride the Lightning was his first Metallica record.
I would say that he produced the most important records of the thrash era of Metallica.
Of course, of course. Yeah, I mean, Fleming has, I would say, has a hand in starting what became this thrash metal genre.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I'm concerned... we can talk about kind of what he's done since Metallica, which he's done some great stuff. But Metallica is his legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he is like, you know, he'll forever, as long as people care about music and care about metal, his name will be in the book
because of
the work he did on these three records.
Yeah. I mean, his legacy continues to this day. I mean, I was reading a couple interviews earlier today and... comments below that interview were like, why doesn't Metallica work with him again? Why not? Come on.
Do you want him to, though? I don't think I do.
I would like to hear Metallica do a record with him.
Really?
Yeah.
It's almost like they just... it was just that time and, like... I don't know, like...
But I would also like to hear them do another record with Bob Rock. Ooh, I'm sorry.
I would, too. See, I'd rather hear that.
Really?
I mean, I'm not slagging
on... Think about what... excuse me, what Fleming can do now.
I don't know what he's doing now. That's the problem.
I know he's been a part of over like 1,000 albums.
Right. He's busy.
He's very busy.
He's still in Denmark.
Yeah, he is. The original studio, which these records were recorded at, is no longer. But he has started like a part two of that studio.
Yeah.
He's still very active. But
what would that even look like? So, you know, that actually would be cool. Like, what if... I'm just so in love with Greg, like with what Greg is doing with the band.
Yeah,
and they only
I am too.
They make a record like once a decade now. So I'm just trying to like catch my bets before I die.
If that's the streak we're on, then we've got like one more record.
But let's say like all that shit wasn't a factor. It would be cool like if they like went back to Denmark and made a record. I know it the Sweet cool. Silence is in a different. They have like Sweet Silence North now is what it's called.
Yeah, yeah, it's like a new, it, yeah, new studio. I think the original Sweet Silence closed in 2009, I believe, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, closed.
But I mean, I think if they did it, they would probably bring him to California or something because they did Justice in L.A., but like
at 101, yeah,
yeah, but those guys don't want to be away from their families for more than 2 weeks, which I totally understand.
I don't get that.
You don't get that?
As a family man myself.
As a father? I want to be away from my daughter for at least a month.
So much pain in this joke.
Sorry.
Well, let's kind of get into sort of how all this happened, right? So Fleming, kind of growing up, was a big Deep Purple fan, a Zeppelin fan, the Who fan. He was a drummer when he was a kid. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it never took off as a drummer, but he was able to like get his way around instruments.
Right.
Which, yeah. You know, as you and I know, working with producers, some producers aren't musicians.
Right.
Which is interesting.
And frustrating.
I agree.
Especially when they tell you how to play something.
When they don't know how to play anything.
Exactly. Yeah.
But there are some really great producers who are not musicians.
Of course, yeah.
All of my favorite producers are musicians.
Yeah.
Dan Lewan. Paul Moak, our friend.
And yes.
Many others. So, but he was kind of a drummer and never took off, but at least he kind of knew his way around an instrument.
Right.
Which I would consider sort of like 101.
I mean, he was the reason that, you know, Lars ended up taking drum lessons.
Right.
With the other Fleming.
The other
studio.
Fleming.
Yeah.
Which, what was that? Artillery was the band that guy was in.
Yeah,
Denmark.
Artillery. That's a good band name.
So Fleming, he says at a young age, he was like, he had this 2-inch tape reel and he would, like, when he would get invited to a party, he would splice a bunch of tape of his favorite songs together for a party.
Cool.
Like, kind of like analog mixtape.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Or what people call mixtape nowadays, which isn't like, analog at all.
Right.
Analog playlist.
Right, right. Whatever.
Sorry, I'm just being nitpicky.
Analog mix.
I'm a fucking, never mind.
Gosh, dude.
Sorry. I'm being a purist. Don't call it a fucking mixtape. Yeah, I'm dropping a mixtape. It's not a tape.
Yeah.
It's not a tape.
Don't call it tape if it's not tape.
It's not tape.
Okay.
Jeez.
All right. You take a hard line on that. That's okay. I'm with you. All right.
Everyone understand?
We all on board? All right. Let's move forward. So he became the in-house engineer at Rosenberg Studios with producer Freddie Hansen in 76. That relationship spawned a peership where they both bought Sweet Silence together in 1980. We're just setting the fucking scene here, man.
It's
We're
coming.
We're just building
the
blocks. I know this is boring facts.
No, we talked about this on the last episode.
Context,
people,
right?
You have to throw some facts out to establish, you know, what's happening.
If you're slagging facts, then you're a dum-dum.
I mean, we could have just like started this episode and said, hey, Flynn Rasmussen, he did these three records and they're
Bye.
Great. And they're great.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Dark Continent.
We're done.
All right, so in 1980, they have Sweet Silence. They kind of went in together, which I kind of like the story of the engineer coming up, becoming partners with the producer.
Yeah, totally.
They're like, let's fucking make some great shit together.
Of course.
So their kind of big break was they produced Ritchie Blackmore and Rainbows.
Rainbow, yeah.
Difficult to Cure in 81, which sort of like retrospective fate. Lars was a big Rainbow fan because Lars is like a music freak.
Well, and that's, you know... fast forward, I mean, that's the reason Metallica got in touch with him.
Right, exactly.
That record.
So Lars hears Difficult to Cure and says, who's that guy? Oh, it's this guy in Denmark.
And they were supposed to, and I think they either did or were supposed to start the Red Lightning record, I think in New York, right?
Mm.
I'm pretty sure they were supposed to start it in New York.
With Johnny Z?
I'm not positive, but I know that they were supposed
because they ended their tour from Kill 'Em All in Europe,
right,
and just went straight to Denmark.
Yeah, I think there was plans of recording it somewhere else, like in the U.S. And at the time, the U.S. dollar was really strong in Europe and Scandinavia, like basically anywhere outside the U.S. The U.S. dollar was so strong, they realized they could get more studio time for their dollar. This is according to Fleming, the interview I read.
Welcome to Economics 101
exactly.
At Metal Up Your Podcast.
So
okay, Cool.
So yeah, they could stretch the dollar a lot further, get way more studio time for the same time they would, you know, pay in the U.S.
Well, that's great. It turned out well.
I mean, that was another reason they went with him. I mean,
one of the weird kind of obstacles of the record, though, is this is when all that gear got stolen. Mm-hmm. So James had had this Marshall that was modded by some like dude in the Bay Area who didn't even remember how he modded it.
Okay.
So when their gear got stolen, James was very particular about his sound. So they allegedly, according to Fleming. That's my Alabama.
This is a southern way of saying
Gordon
it.
Gordon Fleming. Got it.
Rasmussen.
James Marshall wasn't working and got Fleming. Okay, that's my end of my... So they ended up renting like every Marshall in Denmark to try to find James's sound.
How many Marshalls were in Denmark back
Probably
then?
Probably three.
James had all
it cost,
three.
It cost $60. It
cost 60 Danish, what's it called? Danish krones or Danish kroner?
You're looking at me like I would know that. Yeah, Danish kroners.
I think it's Danish kroners. It's not Danish francs or Danish pounds. Well, I think it's Danish kroners.
Kroners does not sound right to me.
It's correct. It's, okay. I know in Scandinavia...
Well, you travel the world more than me.
In Norway, it's you know, krone is, you know, it's 5 krone, whatever. But
yeah, I know.
I think it's Danish krone. If someone out there is listening from Denmark, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's krone.
Dude, I know.
It's like Crohn's disease. I'm just trying to get you to the church giggles.
It's exactly like Crohn's disease.
I'm just over here clearing my throat because I'm still jet lagged from flying from Europe.
Yeah, where did you just come from?
I was in Germany, England, and Scotland.
Mm, what a terrible life you lead.
No, it was really fun until I was sitting in the Chicago airport for 9 hours because of weather.
Yeah.
And
drinking for free?
I was drinking for free.
Yeah. Continue telling us about how awful your life is.
Oh, my gosh. I also get really bad flight anxiety, Clint, and I just thought I was going to die the whole time.
Don't just take, like, my Klonopin and my...
I don't take that shit.
Really?
No.
What do? You just drink?
Yeah, I'll have a bunch of drinks before I get on a flight, so it puts my mind at ease.
Speaking of that, can you top me off while I read the next thing?
Yeah, sure, man.
We've established in our last episode that we're just going to start refilling our drinks while we talk.
Would you like some ice?
Nah.
Okay.
Nah. This is actually interesting. So Fleming has confirmed this. So we've all known that Kirk does not play the rhythm parts on anything until, I think, Load. Thank you. Oh, ginger ale? Is there ginger ale in that?
Oh, yeah. You want ginger ale? Clint is drinking a passion fruit vodka with ginger ale, but...
Right. I'm a redneck. I'm from Alabama. But when James would double the guitars, he would actually use Kirk's gear.
Really?
So he would play Kirk's guitars, which I love imagining, like, James playing Kirk's, like, Jackson at that time.
Yeah. He's like, hey, give me that shit.
Like, whatever Kirk's, like, setup was, James played his shit to do the
rhythms.
The rhythm.
The right side of the speaker.
Right.
Crazy.
Because Ride the Lightning, and I think even Puppets, is before they started doing the thickener, which was the down the middle.
Right.
Chugga chugga.
That's crazy. You used Kirk's gear.
Which, I stand by this. I think that Kirk should have played rhythm throughout their whole career. I know James has an amazing right hand.
Of course, yeah.
But, and I know we have listeners who like Load, and we have listeners who would dislike Load. But when Load and Reload have James and Kirk completely hard panned.
Yeah.
And I love hearing that interplay.
Sure.
It's like the Mick and Keith. It's rock and roll, man.
Yeah. But what?
It's not so surgical. It's not so like.
Sure, but on these old records, though.
But Kirk played it live. Kirk can play.
No, he totally can play.
Kirk's got a great right hand,
yeah,
too,
he does,
you know.
For sure. But, I mean, back then, I mean, you know, it would have been the same riff on either side of the speaker.
Yeah, but you know as well as anyone recording, just the flavor, even if they're
that's
just
true.
The, I mean, little they're... flavor.
Yeah.
Every work tape I do when I write, I put two acoustics, hard left and right,
yeah.
And I play the same thing, but it's just got the little differences there make
sure.
It sort of kinetic and interesting. I think they should have let Kirk do it. I think it's a strange precedent they set.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was an original. But he's also been there since, what, 82?
I mean, dude, he's original at this point.
He's original
on the
first
record.
Yeah, he's on the first record, yeah.
fuck Dave Mustaine.
Dave, I don't mean Dave, that. If you're listening,
I don't mean
we
that.
Don't really mean that.
I don't mean that. All right. Another interesting thing that I learned reading about Fleming is that Cliff, so, you know, Fleming gets a lot of questions about, like, what was it like to work with Cliff, you know?
Yeah.
And he said that Cliff hated wearing headphones in the studio.
Okay.
So they kind of set up a room where Cliff's amps were isolated, so Cliff kind of had a whole room. And they said that Cliff would, like, jump around like he was playing a live show.
That's awesome.
Which is That's fucking cool. Fucking it's rad. So Cliff, right?
Well, it's also, like, in some kind of monster, you see Trujillo, like, learning the songs in this little bedroom they have him hold up in.
Yeah.
Jumping on the bed, learning the parts. Like, it's like what you did as a kid. Like, you're so excited about music, like, you can't help but just move and, like, react, you know?
It's like what I did 2 weeks ago, and I'm 33.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm 38, and when I was... just learning how to play Atlas Rise, I just started moving.
Another thing we've learned is that on Master of Puppets is when they sort of switch from Marshalls to Mesa Boogies, which yeah. That's kind of gear nerd shit, but it's kind of a big deal if you kind of know those amps.
It's a big deal in the sound of the records.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Puppets is such a sort of classic metal sound, yes. So a lot of people have been chasing that sound for a long time, so learning about that gear. What else do we have here?
Well, even back to Ride the Lightning, one big thing for the band at the time was it was the first record that they used a click track on, specifically
from the bell tolls.
Yeah,
yeah. Explain what a click track is for our listeners who might not know.
A click track or a metronome. It's basically a BPM, which is beats per minute. So you have, so let's say that's whatever that is run through your headphones, and you play drums to that. So you're playing to, like, almost like a grid. You're playing to something that is in time. It can be perfect-ish.
And the benefit is you can edit. If everything's on a grid, yes. And you let's say Lars, there was a BPM of 160 for battery.
That's definitely not the BPM for that.
Whatever. For Sanitarium.
Yeah.
And he does six takes. If it's all in the same grid, but his fill and the third verse is shitty, they can just sort of easily pick and choose based on the grid.
Yeah, and back then, recording to tape,
they were splicing tape.
Exactly.
But yeah, it was now, on a grid.
Yeah, right. And nowadays, in Pro Tools or Logic, you know, you can you know, cut things up, move it around. And that's the benefit of recording to a click track, to a metronome, is that everything's to that grid. So, but this was a big deal because, you know, not only was Lars a pretty inexperienced drummer, he probably had never played to a click before. And that was also the song that they did not have written going to Denmark.
Right, they wrote it in the studio.
They wrote it in the studio.
Which I will say, I mean, if you're not used to a click, it is hard on the front end. I mean,
you think as a musician, I play well, I can play in time.
It's intuitive, right?
Yeah, but the second that click track starts, you start recording to it, you're like, oh,
it can kind of fuck
suck.
You up. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
For sure.
Well, and it's complicated because in beats you can kind of play on front of the beat, a little behind the beat, mm-hmm. and in the middle of the beat. There's just, and when you have that in your ear, it can be kind of daunting. It kind of take away from what making music is.
It can take away from the feel of it for sure.
Yeah, you got to kind of learn to work around it. And,
right. I know for me as a drummer, as one of the instruments I play, like when I've recorded to a click track, I guess it's kind of a subconscious thing, but like, I don't often listen to every click. I usually listen to the one that's on the kick drum on the one, which means basically when you count 1, 2, 3, 4, it's on the one. So 1, 2, 3, 4, I listen to click 2, 3, 4, click 2. I listen to that. So everything in between has a little bit of looseness to it. So that's just my silly little method.
It's not silly.
Should I edit that part out?
No.
No, that was silly.
No, it's informative. I think we're making actually like an instructional tape about...
This might be... I think the next episode might have to be the gear episode because we're leading up to this nerdy music stuff.
I think we need to wait like 6 months before the nerdy gear episode. But needless to say, man, like before we get on to Justice, like Ride the Lightning is my favorite Metallica record. Puppets is yours.
Yeah.
And Puppet might be the greatest thrash metal record ever made.
I think so.
So this dude is like made his mark.
Very much so. I mean, even if after Puppets, not even Justice, even after Puppets, if he stopped making records, people would still be, oh yeah, Flemming Rasmussen, yeah, he did these records.
Right.
I mean, they're huge records. They're very groundbreaking records.
Yeah.
I mean, and not a lot of producers can say that.
I think it's, you know, I think part of it is like the luck of the time and place, and he was in Denmark, and he came up under the sky, and they had the studio, and he made this record with Richie Blackmore that Lars liked. But when they got there, he delivered these sounds. You know, these are the thrash sounds.
I mean, Red Lightning, they had Lars in basically a warehouse.
Right. And there's a lot of reverb. Like, yeah. He's the one who got them double-tracking vocals, thickening up their sounds. Not mm-hmm. doing the thickener, but like double. He was the one that was like, yeah, we'll double this and we'll beef this up. And
yeah, they probably had no idea. What do you mean double? Like,
even when Fleming talks about it now, it's all like so casual, but it's like they just had no idea they were sort of sculpting this sound that we would all care about. Well, and, decades later, it's sort of a timeless sound.
Of course, yeah, and I mean, I think that dude had a direct hand in shaping the sound of Metallica past where he produced.
Right.
I mean, if he didn't do what he did back then, like would the Black Album sound as huge as it does? You know?
No, I think it's like
would definitely, they have gone with Bob Rock?
It's definitely a stepping stone. I mean, yeah. Bob Rock stands on Fleming's shoulders for sure.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, I think Fleming elevated that band.
Yeah,
because
for sure.
You know, when they did Kill 'Em All, they got some money from Johnny Z. They made it in New York. The producer was basically like an engineer who didn't give a shit. And Fleming was one of the first guys who was like, no, you can put a mic in the room and it creates this whole different deal. You can blend a room mic with a close mic.
Yeah.
And we can like stack these vocals and we can like create a sound.
Oh, those guys got an education for sure.
Yeah, it was like them learning how to make records. Yeah. And I think Fleming was their kind of really first teacher.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean he was for three records.
Yeah. Well, the first two for sure.
The third one he almost saved slash
So let's even get into that. So they make Ride the Lightning.
Yeah.
Which is my favorite Metallica. It just captured something really special about them. Yeah. And the songs were just amazing.
Yeah.
Then they sort of ride that wave to Puppets, which is sort of just the culmination of mid-80s thrash.
Yeah.
The songs, the production, everything just hit a peak.
Yep.
It does not get better than Puppets, right? So then you get to 88, and they want to get Fleming, but he's unavailable because he's busy.
Yeah.
Because he just made Puppets, and his phone was probably ringing off the fucking hook.
Yeah.
So they start the record with Mike Klink.
Yeah, who is famous for doing Appetite for Destruction. And that's what brought...
Because Lars was fascinated with guns.
Yeah, he was. And that's essentially what brought Mike Klink into the mix, was they were like, Appetite for Destruction. I'm sure they thought it sounded great, which it does.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, like, we did the two records with this guy. Let's try something new. Mike Klink comes in. And they worked with him for, I think it was 3 weeks.
Yeah, it was a couple of weeks. And they were like, yeah, we're not feeling it.
Yeah, they weren't feeling it. And then...
So then they brought Fleming into L.A.
Yeah, they called Fleming and were like, you have to get out here.
Yeah, we need you.
Yeah.
At 101, which is where they ended up making Black Album.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of historic studio for them.
Definitely.
So Fleming comes in and they make kind of standard Metallica fare record, but it's kind of more prog metal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fleming has talked about like how technical the record was and how like on this record, like I think there was click track to like every song.
Oh, the whole thing's so on a click technical. For sure.
Yeah.
I think what they did was they would come in and James would do a guide guitar and mm-hmm. vocal strictly on a click.
Yeah.
Then he would split, because when they did it in L.A., they were like, the Met boys were close to home rather than being like stuck in Denmark.
Right.
So James would split and then it would just be like weeks of Lars.
Yeah.
Doing the guide vocal, guide guitar. Then they would get the drums first, like the actual recorded drums first. Mm-hmm. Then James would come in, do all the guitars.
Yeah.
Then Kirk do all the leads. I think they did bass last.
Well, it was also, reel to reel recording. I think it was a 24 track console. What I read.
I think maybe it was a 74,000 track console.
74,000 track console.
That was in the future, yeah.
Well, but what I read about that recording process was it would take one reel of tape per instrument.
Mm.
So like when they were doing drums, like it took up every channel of the console.
Right.
So for those of you that don't know about this, like you have a mixing board in front of you, essentially what looks like that. And there's a certain amount of channels you're allowed to use. And Lars's drum kit took up the whole thing. Hmm. He had so many things, overhead cymbals,
right.
Toms, whatever. But yeah, they used a lot of 2-inch tape on that record.
Yeah.
And I also read today, which was fascinating because Lars has never been great at this part on that record, but the classic part of one.
The machine gun part.
The machine gun part.
One take, right?
But one take. I watched an interview with Fleming today, and he says he did it in one take.
Well, he was just so young and like in shape and I can see it.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't until a number of years later that like he kind of made that part sloppy, but
yeah, including up to present day.
Of course, present day, yes.
Which, you know, like one is almost as important in their set as Inner Sandman
or Puppets. I mean,
well, no, I think one is even bigger than Puppets.
Yeah, like, it was their first big single. It was their first video. It was, you know.
Like, people slag their set list for being generic or whatever, but here's what they're never going to not play ever. It's Inner Sandman, Nothing Else Matters, and One.
Yeah.
They played One. One is the most played song from Justice.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Other than Puppets, is, I think, one of the top most played songs of all time. But they do entire tours where they don't play. But they're not doing Puppets on this tour.
Well, and Justice is also their second highest selling record.
Really?
Yep.
After Black Album?
Yeah, that's what I read today.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not Lulu?
Well, no, that's, I mean, Lulu, I mean...
That's crazy.
I mean, that's their number one collaborative record.
So, Fleming won a Grammy for One.
Yep. Good for him.
Best metal performance. That's pretty cool.
That's very cool. After three records with the band...
Yeah, it sort of culminates and you win a Grammy.
Yeah, that's amazing. That had to feel good.
Like the record where they like kind of got someone else and they didn't work out, so they had you kind of come like...
Save the day.
Save the day, and then yeah. You'd like make the Grammy award winning.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool. And what's the show that he also mixed?
It was the Freddie Mercury concert.
Okay, at Wembley Stadium? Wembley,
yeah. Yeah, I think he engineered a bit of it, but mixed it.
Okay.
And if you watch footage of that show, it's great. And it sounds great.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, the Metallica were Queen fans, so they, you know, which is why they did Stone Cold Crazy. And,
right. Which, by the way, is anyone not a Queen fan? Are you a Queen fan?
I like Queen, yes.
Queen kicks ass.
Of course.
Freddie Mercury is one of the greatest frontmen of all time.
All time. All time.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't love him as much as I love Metallica, but... But I like Queen.
But they're still incredible.
Queen kicks ass.
If you watch old footage of Queen and watch Freddie Mercury like playing piano and singing, and like even though it's the most generic song, but doing Bohemian Rhapsody live.
I know.
And you watch him on the piano, like
it's magic.
It's magic.
I know, dude. It's so special. Oh, yeah. He was so great.
Oh yeah. But Fleming, he did not produce Queen, unfortunately.
Was Fleming the lead singer of Queen?
I know where you're going with this.
He wasn't, was he? Crap.
That was Freddie.
Oh. Freddie Rasmussen.
Freddie Saturn.
Yeah. I mean, what can I say? We love Fleming. Well, yeah, this dude's like a metal icon, right?
Of course it is, yeah.
And he went on to do a lot of great shit after Justice.
Sure, yeah.
None of it I care to talk about, because this is a Metallica podcast.
Yeah, we're talking about his relation to Metallica, of course, but... But I feel like he's one of those producers that if you're a Metallica fan, you definitely know him. If you're not a Metallica fan, maybe you haven't heard his name, but I mean, he has just as big a part as Metallica does in shaping what everyone knows as thrash metal.
Yeah. He's almost like the George Martin of thrash.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I would say he's... this is tough. As important as Bob Rock to Metallica and their legacy and their stamp on the world, but probably more important.
Well, here's the deal. When you say someone's the George Martin or the Beatles, that was a 10-year band.
Well, that Metallica's, was also, he did every record, so.
Right, because it because the band was like 10 years long.
Yeah.
Metallica's 35 years.
Yeah.
So we have eras, right? So
yes.
Fleming obviously is the, you know, 80s mm-hmm. dude. Bob Rock kind of ruled the 90s, shit the bed in the early aughts. And now we got Greg.
And there's Rick Rubin in there too, which.
Unmentionable.
We will mention him on an episode, but I have my thoughts.
But he's not remarkable.
No, I'm not. No, he
in the Metallica saga.
No, no. He in my opinion, just recorded a bunch of demos for Metallica, which became Death Magnetic, which I love, by the way. I love that record.
But you have Fleming, who shaped an entire decade of Metallica sound.
Yes.
You have Bob Rock, who shaped an entire decade. And now what I hope is we have Greg Fiddleman, who's going to hopefully shape an entire
Fiddleman
decade.
Fiddleman is my new... That guy's my new favorite.
I know, like, me too.
I really hope that they work more with him.
Yeah, me too.
Because he's kicked ass so far.
So here's what we're going to try to do. We really want to get Fleming on the show. So we are going to write to Fleming, who seems to be really amenable to fan emails.
Yeah, I mean, he's still doing interviews almost currently about his experience with Metallica. We'd love to talk to him.
So our plan is we're going to reach out to Fleming. And
by the way, no drinking before we talk to him. Because we're just going to giggle the whole time.
Yeah, could you imagine, like,
hey, Fleming,
finally getting...
and then you exactly. snort, you know.
Yeah, then I'm snorting and sobbing.
But
yeah, we'll be straight for that.
Have to.
But here's what the plan is: we're going to reach out to Fleming and say, "Hey, we'd love for you to come on the show. It's a humble little podcast. We're not super famous or anything yet.
Yes, we are.
But it would be really cool if maybe some of you guys could reach out to Fleming. His email address is whatever it is, easy to find. People email him all the time.
Fleming at irecordedawesomemetallicrecords.com.
Fleming at Fleming.
No, if you look him up on, if you just type in Fleming Rasmussen on Google, like his website comes up for his studio and it's like kind of a old school looking website, but like there's contact info on there.
So it'd be cool if like some of our listeners who wanted to take the time, if you don't, no problem. But if you do want to take the time, you reach out and encourage him to respond to our email. We're going to email him and invite him.
Yeah.
So we want to have him on the show.
I think it'd be amazing.
Yeah, it'd be really fun.
I think, you know, even though we've read interviews with him and stuff, it'd be fun to talk to somebody firsthand that like had experience in recording these iconic sounds that we know and love.
Yeah, totally.
And hear about how he did it, you know, like why he did certain things and how it was working with the guys in the band. That would be something very, I think, educational as a Metallica fanatic.
Dude, I'd love to just have a beer with him and just talk. What was it like in the studio?
Totally. That'd be awesome.
Even outside of like technical gear shit.
Oh, yeah. It'd be so fun. I can only imagine how... Yeah, he's got to have some great stories.
Yeah, but he does.
But yeah, before we stop, we also... I think we're going to start running a little contest coming up.
Yeah, so we have had Metal Up Your Podcast guitar picks made.
Yeah. One with... well, many, but like one design is the logo that you see on iTunes and stuff.
Right.
And then one of my beautiful face, one of Clint's beautiful
face. Yeah, so We've got three different guitar picks. We got the Metal Up Your Podcast guitar pick, which is the black with the white Metal Up Your Podcast logo. Then we've got a guitar pick with Ethan's face on it.
Hot.
And a guitar with my face on it.
Ew.
And, man, hot and new.
Sorry.
Is that a new metal band, by the way?
Hot and new?
Hot and ew.
Hot and new.
Here's the deal. We are getting traction on iTunes, but the more traction we get, the better it is for our visibility on iTunes.
Yeah.
So we've made, how many picks did we make? I don't know the math.
It was 100, right?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah, but that is 100 picks.
So the next 20 listeners who leave a positive review on iTunes, we will mail you
five
picks. Guitar picks, three Metal Up Your Podcast picks, one pick of Ethan.
Hot.
And one pick of Clint.
Hotter.
Oh, no, it's ew.
Ew, sorry. I was trying to compliment you.
So, that's the deal. That's the contest.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. Yeah, if you want to go on iTunes, leave us a positive review. We appreciate it. And we'll figure out the details later on how to prove that it is you. But we're going to send you five guitar picks for free.
Yeah. We'll announce the 20 winners on a subsequent episode.
Yep.
And we'll figure out how to verify that you are who you are. And get your email. We'll send it via email.
Yeah.
No, we'll get your actual address, and we will send you these five picks.
Yeah.
We're going to pay for the shipping and all that shit.
Yeah. Have we discussed if it should be U.S. only or international? Because even a little envelope to like New Zealand can get expensive.
I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna go ahead and say this first contest is gonna be U.S. only.
I think that's smart. No offense to anybody international.
We love our Australian, our UK, our Canadian, and Turkish.
Poland, New Jersey.
Yeah. We love you. We'll send pics to Poland, New Jersey.
Oh yeah.
But Samim, don't be bummed. Samim in Turkey.
Oh, Samim.
We've not forgotten you.
This is a new thing for us.
It's kind of an experiment. We're trying to figure it out.
We want to do this more in the future. We want to have little giveaways, contests, things like that. And we're just trying to test the waters here a little bit. So to start, leave us a positive review of the first 20. We already have a few on there, but the first 20 from the date of this episode,
yeah,
we'll figure it out. And we're going to pick 20 winners and send you guys some guitar picks.
It's going to be pretty neat.
The neatest. Hey, look, it's almost 1 a.m.
Oh.
I was joking with Clint earlier before we started this episode that a few weeks back we did two episodes in a night and Clint left my house at like 1:30 in the morning.
Wow.
And we're like, oh, that's not going to happen tonight.
And here we are.
And then we started posting Instagram stories and an hour later, here we are. So, well, my voice is hoarse, and I'm about ready to go to sleep. What do you say? I'm not saying with you, but you can sleep with me if you want. But
yeah, what if I was just like, no, let's just keep rolling.
Keep rolling, cool. All right, you know how to hit stop. I'm going to go to bed.
No, let's call it. This was a good one. Like, thanks for listening. We love you guys. Thanks for writing in.
Yeah, always.
What's all of our bullshit? Do our bullshit thing.
Our bullshit thing? Okay. You can email us. Email us. I said email it us. You can email us at metalupyourpodcastshow@gmail.com. Instagram is metalupyourpodcast. Twitter is metalupyourpc. And Facebook, we now have a URL, by the way. We're that famous. It's facebook.com/... You guessed it, Metal Up Your Podcast.
Good for us.
Yeah, we're going places. But yeah, reach out to us, give us your feedback, what you like, what you didn't like. Tell us that we need to stop drinking too much, and we'll probably deny you.
We'll probably not take your advice.
Yeah, but yeah, we appreciate you guys. We hope you keep listening, and we love that you write into us. So
even if we can't mention it on an episode, we read all of it.
We do. We 100% do.
So thank you.
That's no joke. So that's about it.
Metal up your podcast.
Good night to everybody from Torben.
Goodbye.
If you were our advisor, what would you say? Then I would say, delete that.